Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, see his banner go, brothers and sisters. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Peace be unto you. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, January the 11th, 2017. We're right in the middle of the book of 2 Kings. We're going to be covering chapters 12, 13, and hopefully 14 today. We'll see if we can get all three of them in. So let's get started. This is verse 1 of chapter 12 of the second book of Kings here. 7 years of age was Jehoash, 3062, when began he to reign. Verse 2. In the seventh year of Jehu, began Jehoash to reign. And you can reference 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, verse 1 on that. And reigned he 40 years in Jerusalem. And the name of his mother, Siba, T-S-I, or Sibya, pardon me. T-S-I-B-Y-A-H, 6645, of Be'er Sheba. Verse 3, and acted Jehoash uprightly in the eyes of Yahweh all his days, as that Jehoiada instructed him. Instructed is 3384. So he was pretty good king. Verse 4, but the high places were not removed. Those are the places of pagan worship. The people still slaughtered sacrifices and burnt incense in the high places. So there was still apostasy going on. He didn't fix everything. But that it was just indicative of the downhill slide that Israel was in. Verse 5, and said Jehoash to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of Yahweh, the money of passers through, the money of a person's valuation, 6187, all the money that rises up upon a man's heart to bring him to bring into the house of Yahweh. And these are free will donations. And 6187, see Leviticus 5, verse 15, a person's valuation. Verse 6, let the priest take it, all of them, each man from his friend, 4378. And that's dubious here. Each man from his, it translated friend, but it's a little doubtful for use for that word. But that's what they've got. And let them repair, 2388, as make good the breaches, 919, that's damages of the house, all where that any breach shall be found. Because of wear and tear and weather and everything, and things were falling apart. They do in any building if you don't maintain it. Verse 7, but it was in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Verse 8, then called King Jehoash for Jehoiada the priest and the other priest, and said to them, for what reason repair you not the breaches of the house? Now therefore take no money from your acquaintances, but give it for the breaches of the house. Verse 9, and consented to 2:5. To take no money from the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. Verse 10, but took Jehoiada, the priest, a chest, 7:2-7, that's the same word that's used for ark, aron. It's a box. That's what it means. And bored a hole in the door of it, 18:17, the lid, and set it beside the altar on the right side as a man comes into the house of Yahweh. And the priest that guarded the doorway put in it all the money brought into the house of Yahweh. In other words, it's like a collection box. That's what he put there, because the money was just disappearing. Somebody was absconding with the funds. Verse 11, and it was when saw they that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe, 5608, that's so fair, and here it's used as a treasurer paymaster, and the high priest came up, and they secured 6696 and counted 4487 the money that was found in the house of Yahweh. Verse 12, and they gave the money, weighed out, 8505, into the hands of those doing the work that oversaw, 6485, the house of Yahweh. And they sent it forth, 3318, to the artificers, 2796, of wood, 6086, and builders, 1129, that worked upon the house of Yahweh. Verse 13, two masons, 1443, and hewers of stone, 2672, and to buy timber and hewn, 4274, stone to repair the breaches of the house of Yahweh, and for all that was brought forth for repair upon the house. Verse 14, however, there were not made for the house of Yahweh basins, 5592, of silver, snuffers, 4212, bowls, 4219, clarions, 2689, any vessels, 3629, of gold or vessels of silver from the money brought into the house of Yahweh. Verse 15, because they gave that to the doers of work and repaired with it the house of Yahweh. Verse 16, they counted 2803 not with the men into whose hand they gave the money to be given to doers of work, because they dealt faithfully. 530, in other words, they were honest men. And you can reference 2 Kings 22, verse 7. Verse 17, the trespass, 817, money, and sin, 2403, money, was not brought into the house of Yahweh. It was the priests. Those were fines that were set in lieu of animal offerings. And you can see Leviticus 7, verse 7. Verse 18. Then Kazael, king of Aram, went up and fought against Gath and captured it, 39:20. And Kazael set his face to go up against Jerusalem. verse 19, and took Jehoash, king of Yehuda, all the set apart things that Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and Akaziahu, his ancestors, kings of Yehuda, had set apart, and his own set apart things, and all the gold found in the treasury of the house of Yahweh, and in the king's house, and sent it to Kazael, king of Aram, and went away from upon Jerusalem. That's what it says. It should say, and he went away from upon Jerusalem. In other words, they bribed him to leave him alone. So that worked, evidently. You know, please don't come and attack Jerusalem. Verse 20. And the rest of the affairs of Joash, same guy, different spelling, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Yehuda? That's Chronicles again. Verse 21, and rose up his servants and planned 7194, a conspiracy, 7195, and smote Joash and Beth Milo, which goes down to Silla, S-I-L-L-A, 5538. Verse 22, for Yazakar, 3108, the son of Shimeath, 8100, and Jehozabad, 3075, the son of Shomer, 7763, his servants smote him, and he died, and buried they him with his ancestors in the city of Dawid, and Amatziah, 558, his son reigned in his place, 2 Chronicles 25:1. Okay, you can reference that. So it was a good king, but these guys conspired against him and killed him. Like the unfortunate accidents that good politicians have today if they don't go right along with the status quo system. They have plane crashes and heart attacks and such like that. Let me get a hit of iced tea here. The heat is roaring in here because it's cold and very snowy. We got a lot of snow here where I live. And it's still snowing. So, let's get into chapter 13 here. We have people with the same names that are different people. Verse 1, in the 23rd year of Joash, son of Akaziahu, king of Yehuda, began to reign Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, in Shomeron for 17 years at Samaria. Verse 2, and acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which made to sin Israel. He departed not from them. So he was another bad king of Israel. Verse 3, and was kindled the anger of Yahweh against Israel, and gave he them into the hand of Kazael, king of Aram. He was the guy that was going to attack Jerusalem in the last chapter. And into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Kazael, all their days. So he put them in subjection of the Arameans, the Arami. Verse 4. and sought Jehoahaz the presence of Yahweh, and hearkened Yahweh unto him, because saw he the oppression of Israel, because the king of Aram oppressed them. Well, this guy was repenting and was coming to Yahweh. Verse 5. And gave Yahweh Israel a Savior. 3, 4, 6, 7. And in Hebrew, that is Moshiach. So that they went forth from under the hand of Aram, and dwelt the children of Israel in their tents, as in times past. Verse 6. Nevertheless, departed they not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who caused to sin Israel, walking in them, and there remained the pole of Asherah also in Shomeron. Verse 7. Because neither did he leave of the people to Jehoahaz but 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, because the king of Aram had destroyed them, and had made them like the dust from threshing. So that most of their army was wiped out. Verse 8. Now the rest of the affairs of Jehoahaz, and all he did, and his might, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Israel? Again, that's Chronicles. Verse 9, and Jehoahaz slept with his ancestors, in other words, they died. He died. And buried they him in Shomeron, and reigned Joash, his son, in his place. Pardon me. And Joash is spelled Jehoash in verse 10. It's in the Joash in 10 is a different man. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Yehuda, okay, there's Joash, king of Yehuda, and the other Joash in 9 is king of Israel. Two kings, same name, same time. Two different nations. Began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel in Shomeron for 16 years. Now they spelled Joash from verse 9, Jehoash in verse 10. Same guy. And there's another guy named Joash, and he's king of Yehuda. So that these names are confusing. Verse 11, and acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, departed he not from all the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, that's the guy that's the standard for evil, who made to sin Israel, walking in them. Remember, Jeroboam made those golden calves. Let me clear the pipes here a little bit, folks, and have a hit of iced tea. I'll be right back. Oh yes, that's much better. I get a little clogged up every once in a while. Please forgive me, but that's old age. Verse 12. And the rest of the affairs of Joash, and this is the Jehoash of verse 10, and all that he did, and his might, are they not written in the books of the words of the days of the kings of Israel? That's Chronicles again. He didn't last but 16 years. Verse 13, and Joash slept with his ancestors. In other words, he died. And Jeroboam, this is another Jeroboam, 3379, sat upon his throne. And was buried Joash in Shomeron with the kings of Israel. Now here, this Jeroboam is the son of Joash. The other Jeroboam that we just talked about was the son of Nebat. Different man. Years ago. In the past. Verse 14. Now fallen sick, 2470, was Elisha of his sickness of which he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came forth unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen of it. This is an honorarium to Elisha from the king. Now the timeline here goes back and forth. It's not consistent. Okay, so it gets a little confusing, but this is what they wrote, so I'm just reading it. Verse 15, and said Elisha to him, take bow and arrows, and took he unto him bow and arrows. Verse 16, and said he to the king of Israel, ride, 7392, that's as grasp, your hand upon the bow. And he rode his hand and put Elisha his hands upon the king's hand. Verse 17, and said he, open the window eastward. And he opened. Then said Elisha, shoot, 3384. And he shot. And said he, the arrow of Yahweh's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Aram. For you shall smite Aram and Aphek till you have consumed. 3615. Verse 18, and said he, that's Elisha again, take the arrows. And he took. And said he unto the king of Israel, smite the ground. And smote he three times, and stood still. Verse 19. And was angry the man of Elohim with him, and said, you should have smitten five or six times. Then had you smitten Aram until you had consumed. Now you shall smite Aram three times only. Verse 20. And died Elisha, and buried they him. And the raiding bands of Moab came into the land at the coming in of the year. That would be the spring. In March, okay. We just had the secular New Year. Well, that's not the Hebrew New Year. That's the Roman New Year. Verse 21, and it came to be, as they were burying a man, that behold, they saw a band of marauders from Moab, from verse 20, and cast they the man into the sepulcher of Elisha, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and rose up upon his feet. Verse 22. Hazael, king of Aram, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. Verse 23. But Yahweh was gracious to them, that's 2603, and had compassion, 7355, on them, and looked, 6437, toward them, 413, because of his covenant with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob, and would not destroy them. That's 7843. Would not destroy nor cast, 7993, them from his presence as yet. Take note of that, as yet. Verse 24, died Kazael, king of Aram, and reigned Ben-Hadad, his son, in his place. Verse 25, recovered, 7725, Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, from the hand of Ben-Hadad, son of Kazael, the cities which he had taken from the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Three times did Joash smite him and recovered the cities of Israel. Now, Jehoash and Joash is the same man here. They just spelled it different. Same guy. And verse 25 of chapter 13, you can reference Amos chapter 1, verse 4. Now we'll get into chapter 14 of the second book of Kings. Verse 1. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, 3099, king of Israel, reigned Amatsyahu, 558, son of Joash, king of Yehuda. Here, two men are named Joash, two different guys, one of Israel, one of Yehuda. Verse 2, he was 25 years of age when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Yaoadan, 3086, of Jerusalem. You can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1 on that. Verse 3, and acted he uprightly in the sight of Yahweh, yet not as his ancestor David. He acted according to all that Joash his father did. Verse 4, however, the high places were not removed. As yet, the people slaughtered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places, pagan worship. Verse 5, and it came to be when the kingdom was securely, 2388, in his hand, he smote the servants which had smitten his father, the king, the ones that conspired against him and killed the good king. Well, he took vengeance on that. Verse 6, but the children of the murderers he put to death not, according to that which is written in the book of the teachings of Moshe, that's Torah, that commanded Yahweh, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but each man shall be put to death for his own sin. And you can reference the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verse 16, on that law. Verse 7, smote he of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000 and captured Selah 5554 in battle and called the name of it Yoktheel 3371 unto this day. Selah means the rocks or the cliffs. That was one of their main cities. Verse 8, then set Amatyahu messengers to Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us look each other in the face. And he's talking about in battle. Verse 9, and Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amatyahu, king of Yehuda, saying, the thistle, 2336, that was in Lebanon, sent to the cedar, 730, that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a living creature, 2416, of the field, 7704, that was in Lebanon, and trampled, 7429, the thistle. Verse 10. You have surely smitten Edom, and your heart, 3820, as your inner thoughts, has lifted you up. Be honored, 3513, and stay at home. Why stir up, 1624, calamity, 7451, and fall, 5307, you and Yehuda with you. Now, that fall means to fall down in death. Verse 11, but Amatyahu would not listen. Therefore, Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amatyahu, king of Yehuda, looked each other in the face at Beth Shemeth, which belonged to Yehuda. Well, that looked each other in the face again means in battle, face to face. Verse 12, and was smitten Yehuda before Israel, and fled they every man to their tents. Now, he had warned them. Verse 13, and captured Jehoash, king of Israel, Amatyahu, king of Yehuda, the son of Jehoash, son of Akaziahu, at Beth Shemeth, and came to Jerusalem, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate, 400 cubits, at 600 feet of wall. So Israel went to Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, and broke down the wall. Verse 14, and took he all the gold and silver and all the vessels found in the house of Yahweh, and in the treasuries of the king's house, and child hostages, 8594, and returned to Shomeron. So he just whooped the fire out of Judah and took all their stuff. Verse 15, and he didn't want to fight. He said, you know, just leave me alone. There's no reason to fight. But the other one, the Amatyahu, just wouldn't have it any other way, and it was a bad mistake. Verse 15, now the rest of the affairs of Jehoash, which he did, and his might, and how fought he with Amatyahu, the king of Yehuda, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Israel? That's Chronicles. Okay. That's Dibrei Yomim, words of the days. Verse 16, and slept Yehoash with his ancestors, and was buried in Shomeron with the kings of Israel, and reigned Yeroboam, 3379, his son, in his place. And Yeroboam is a common name, like Jehoshaphat. Here's another Yeroboam. Oh, they're all over the place. Like some people named John or Bill or Bob, you know, Robert, Charles. There's lots of people with that name. Well, there were lots of people with these names. And they'd name, and sometimes the king of Judah and the king of Israel would have the same first name. But it's their father's name, who they were son of, that designated who they were. So, verse 17, and Amatsyahu, son of Yoash, king of Yehuda, lived after the death of Yehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years as a captive. Verse 18. And the rest of the affairs of Amatsyahu, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Yehuda? Again, Chronicles. Verse 19. Now they planned a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and fled he to Lachish. 3923, but sent they after him to Lachish and put him to death there. Now, he had been taken captive and lost a lot of power, and the people wanted him dead. Verse 20, and they carried him off on horses and buried him at Jerusalem with his ancestors in the city of Dawid. Verse 21, and all the people of Yehuda took Azariah, 5818, which was 16 years of age, and made him king in the place of his father Amatsyahu. In other words, they wanted the old man dead, and they wanted the son to be king, because the old man was a jerk and had caused a war, and the people were pretty sore about that. Verse 22, he rebuilt Eilath, E-Y-L-A-T-H, 359, and restored it to Yehuda. After that, the king slept with his ancestors. So he didn't last long. Verse 23, in the 15th year of Amatsyahu, son of Yoash, king of Yehuda, Yeroboam, son of Yoash, king of Israel, began to reign in Shomeron, 41 years. Now, in this verse, there are two different men named Yoash. One was the father of Amatsyahu, and the other was Yoash, king of Israel. Amatsyahu was king of Yehuda, and the other Yoash was king of Israel. So two people with the same name in that passage. Whew. Verse 24, and he acted evilly in the sight of Yahweh. He turned aside not from all the sins of Yeroboam, son of Nebat. That's the first Yeroboam from chapter 12 of 1 Kings, who made to sin Israel. He did the golden calf routine. Verse 25, restored he the territory of Israel from the entrance to Hamath, 2574, unto the Sea of Arabah, That means the sea of the plain. According to the word of Yahweh, Elohe Israel, that's Yahweh, the God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant, Jonah, 31:24, that's Jonah, son of Amittai, 5:73, the prophet, which was of Gath HaKhefer, 1662. And you can reference the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1, for verse 25 of 2 Kings. Verse 26. For saw Yahweh the affliction of Israel, very bitter, and no one shut up or left, nor any helper for Israel. Verse 27, and had not said Yahweh that he would wipe out the name of Israel from under the sky? And it had not said, he didn't say, in other words, didn't say he's going to wipe them out, but saved he them by the hand of Jeroboam, son of Joash. Now that's even though he was a major sinner. He was a bad king, was evil, but he used him for a good purpose. Yahweh will take sinners and use them for good. Verse 28, now the rest of the affairs of Jeroboam and all that he did and all his might, how he warred and how he recovered he Damasek, that's Damascus, and Kamath of Yehuda for Israel, are they not written in the book of the words of the days, that's Chronicles, of the kings of Israel? Verse 29, and Jeroboam slept with his ancestors, with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah, his son, reigned in his place. And that takes care of 12, 13, and 14. Now tomorrow we'll get into chapter 15, but we see all this warring back and forth and foolishness of these kings that were all puffed up and they thought they were really hot. And oh, I'm so mighty, and I'm a king, and I've got a kingdom, and I'm big time. Well, they weren't. At this point, they were mightily weakened, and Yahweh was punishing, and he just let them go at one another and kill one another. I mean, there were few of them. Some of them were all right. They did okay. But they didn't go all the way. They weren't totally faithful to Yahweh. They didn't get rid of the pagan worship places up on high mounds that they had built. They only went part way. They would never totally commit. And this was just typical. It's not good, you know. If you're going to be for Yahweh, be for Yahweh. Don't fool around about it. And that applies today to us. You can't just give lip service. I mean, it's an all or nothing thing with Yahweh. And Yeshua, Messiah, said, if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out. And this comes from our Redeemer. I mean, who has had more love for us than he? Yahweh the Father, in the the wrappings of a man in the flesh of Yeshua. You know, he had all that wonderful power, and he didn't have to die for us, but he did it because he loved us. Now, how can we be lukewarm? I mean, basically, he was tortured to death for our sins and bears our sins and lifted them up from upon us. I don't know. I don't have any particular good insight into this. No more than you would. I'm a man. I'm an Adamite, just like you. And it just seems a miraculous and overwhelming show of love. And I do not understand how people can reject it. I'm sorry, I my mind won't wrap around that. When we know we're sinners, and people won't accept that redemption. I don't. The same way I cannot comprehend the mindset of these pedophiles, these child molesters. I don't understand how. I can't wrap my mind around that. All I know is it's evil. And a lot of this stuff is being exposed today with this Pizzagate. And I'm just wondering, you know, with the news media, the mainstream media covering it up, how can they do that? That's aiding and abetting to me. I don't get it. And I'm grateful for that. I don't want to understand why they would molest children. That idea is so foreign to me and so disgusting. And it's a blessing that I can't think like that, because if I understood it, I mean, that thought scares me. Why would I want to understand that, you know, these guys, and they kill these little children. They sacrifice them. They drink blood. I am born from above. And even though I have been a sinner in my life, Yahweh has forgiven me and redeemed me through Yeshua Messiah. Me, big time sinner. Look what he did with Paul, who persecuted the early church and was killing the Christians. And Yeshua revealed himself to Paul. And Paul became the disciple to the nations in dispersion and was a major servant and wrote a lot of the New Testament. This is Yahweh's working. This is not the working of the man, Paul. And what he's done with me is Yahweh's working through me, not of the man, Pastor Steve. These are not my works. These are Yahweh's works. The change in my life is of Yahweh, because my spirit was receptive to him. And he called me to preach? Me? An old biker? I don't understand how he works, because he is so vast and overwhelmingly powerful that my human mind can't wrap around his magnificence. He is so wonderful that as a man I cannot comprehend. And I'm only a man. I'm not made to comprehend that much. It's like an old dinosaur computer. Can't handle a lot of the new programs and stuff. It just doesn't have the capacity. Well, I'm an old dinosaur man. And all the magnificence of Yahweh is beyond me. All I know is I love him more than my own life, because I realize what he is. And the gift that he gave me through Yeshua Messiah is overwhelming love. I can't extol it enough. I can't praise it enough. And that's his love for Israel. Even though we're in apostasy and we are disobedient and we've done this and we've done that and we're continuing to do this and that and all that stuff, he gives us an out. He gives us a redemption that we don't deserve. We don't deserve it. It's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness and his love. Not our wonderfulness. There is no one, no thing on the land or in the sky or in the seas like Yahweh. Yahweh is Yahweh. There is only one. His name is one. He is the divine being of Israel. And as an Israelite, I realize this now full well, and I am so happy, and I want to share this so desperately with those that are riding the fence and haven't made a decision, and they're going along with what's in the world today and all the foolishness of the government and all the lies that they've been programmed with, all this nonsense. And I want to try to do something or say something through the Holy Spirit that would speak, that would snap these people out of this daydream that they're in, and let them see, open their eyes and let them see reality, that we are in the last days. We watch all this increasing violence in our society. Not just here in the United States of America, but all over the world. Wherever real Israel is, the white people, we see increasing grotesque violence and killing. And it is as in the day of Noah. Well, I'm just about out of time here. I'm coming up on the top of the hour. Next week is the inauguration on the 20th. They're going to have some kind of meeting on the 15th. And try to approve a Palestinian state or some such. A lot of machinations behind the scenes of the evil governments. So I'm about 5 minutes out, and I want to just warn everybody to be very, very careful. Be aware of your environment. If you go out during inauguration week, on the day of the inauguration, if you live in a major city where they have planned protests, don't go out. Stay home. Please call in sick to work and be very, very careful, because if you are a white person, you are a target. I hate to have to say that, but that is how it is. You cannot do your family any good if you are in a hospital all beat to pieces or dead. And that is what the beasts of the field do to us. And nothing is done in return to them. That's not a hate crime to kill Whitey. Well, yeah, it is. But not to the politically correct. There won't be commensurate punishment for crimes against us. I mean, it goes on all the time. People being beaten with bricks. People being jerked out of their automobiles and just beaten savagely and kicked and left for dead, laying there, bleeding. And nothing is done. Nobody's arrested. Nobody's charged. You're not going to get justice. It's just not going to happen. Police will not protect you. The police will look the other way because they have been ordered to do so. It's not politically correct to be white. You will be punished because of your race. This has been told to us in scriptures. They will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service. It is bad now, and it is going to get worse. There are people behind the scenes that are paying to have this done. This Black Lives Matter deal, it's black thugs, is what it is. Well, I'm getting close. I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem. That's peace be unto you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will talk to you tomorrow, and I will be doing 2 Kings again, starting with chapter 15. So praise Yahweh, and you have a good day for the rest of the day.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.